Studio 360.
A physicist named Ken Laws was also struck by a midlife urge to dance. But instead of tango, he thought that ballet might be his thing. Turns out it isn't easy to find a ballet class for middle-aged men. So, as he told reporter Hillary Frank, he decided just to tag along with his children to their class. They were 5 and 7 at the time.
Ken started ballet at 40. Surprisingly, he was much better than the kids at first. But then a couple years into his training, something really made his head spin.
The teacher would say, "Now do a tendu to the side."
That's when you stand at the bar and move your foot to the side with a pointed toe.
And then she'd say, "Now lift the leg, but don't move anything but the leg." And I would stand there thinking, "Yeah, sure. The center of gravity is moving off to the right side. So when you lift the leg, you're going to topple over, of course."
The center of gravity means a lot to Ken. When he wasn't taking children's ballet classes, he was teaching college physics. So he was shocked when he looked around the room and all the kids were lifting their legs and not falling over.
And I thought, wait a minute, how come these little kids can violate the laws of physics the way I've known the laws of physics for the last 30 years?
It took Ken a minute to figure it out. The kids were just cheating.
They start off a little bit asymmetric. They lift the leg for a very short time so they don't have time to topple. And they're applying a little bit of force on the bar to keep themselves from toppling.
And then once you learned that, did you discover that you could do what the teacher was asking you to do?
Oh, sure. I learned to cheat. But I also learned that this dance studio is a physics laboratory. There's all sorts of physics going on in here.
That's when Ken really fell for ballet, and he fell hard. So hard that he kept taking kids' classes even after his own kids quit. He danced in local productions, often playing both the party host and Mother Ginger within one performance of the Nutcracker. The more he practiced, the more questions like these kept popping into his head.
What's happening to the torque? Where is my moment of inertia? Where am I getting the force to make this happen? Am I conserving energy?
Ken started tinkering and built a ballet training bar that measured the amount of force exerted on it by a dancer. He rigged it to a projector and brought it with him to lectures. He started teaching dance classes of his own.
The leg is thrown out by centrifugal force, but when it's thrown out, the moment of inertia is larger, the angular velocity decreases, you're going more slowly.
Eventually, Ken figured he'd amassed enough information on physics and dance to write a book. He called it simply The Physics of Dance.
And I thought, oh, people are going to gobble this up. It's unnatural.
I was like, are you trying to teach me school or ballet? Like, what is this?
Sarah Michelle Morosky was 11 when she first read one of Ken's books.
I don't know. He has like something like this in it. FP equals W, LCs. I don't know how to even say it now.
Sarah Michelle used to help Ken demonstrate at some of his seminars. At nearly 5'10" with a skinny ballerina body, she's prone to falling over. Ken taught her all kinds of ways to adjust her weight over her center. The results were immediate.
It was kind of one of those moments that Ken always talks about. He says it's the aha moment, and it's like, oh my gosh, I just realized what I needed to fix.
And that's the most exciting part about teaching with, you know, this science. They get so excited when they apply the physical principles to their dancing.
Arlene Sugano uses Ken's methods in her classes in Little Rock, Arkansas. She sees the biggest results when she's teaching turns.
What does it take to turn? Torque.
Torque. Remember torque? Yeah, probably not. Torque is two opposing forces acting on an object.
And how do we produce multiple turns? Well, you have to increase the duration of the torque. So how would we do that? Well, we would plié longer. And so you would stay in that bent knee position as you did this twisting of the feet.
Maybe that sounds hard to follow, but Arlene's 13-year-old's got it.
All of a sudden, I hear screaming and jumping up and down and screaming, "Miss A, Miss A, oh my God, I just did 4 turns. And I start crying.
You start crying?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they all laugh and they clap because they say, "We did it. We did it. We made her cry."
Sarah Michelle agrees that, yes, all this physics business helps with doing lots and lots of turns, but what Ken and Arlene would tell her to do if she needed to pull off more than three pirouettes is wind up her arms to build momentum.
But in terms of the ballet technique, most teachers would really get mad if you did that winding up thing. They just want you to be able to turn without getting any momentum or anything.
Turns out a lot of dance teachers think it's blasphemous to talk about classical ballet in scientific terms. That point of view was captured in this Philadelphia Inquirer headline. He wants to reduce ballet to a science.
He wants to reduce ballet to a science. That made me cringe. I wanted to crawl into a hole. I thought, how did I give that impression? That's the last thing in the world I want to do.
Do those people have a point at all? Like, does making art seem scientific take the art out of the art?
Yes, in fact, am I thinking about physical principles when I'm performing on stage? Not at all. You don't want to muddy your mind with the science when you're trying to express the aesthetics of the art form.
The aesthetics of ballet are all about illusions. The artistry lies in dancers being able to fool us into believing they can turn without momentum or hang in midair.
You can fight against gravity, or you can accept and understand the logic of how gravity is working. And if you understand the logic, then you can work within those constraints.
Really, Ken isn't trying to force physics on anyone. He just loves dancing.
What do I love about dancing? Pas de deux. I love to dance with a woman. There's just something magical about the way the minds have to think differently but have to think the same. To my mind, the classical ballet pas de deux is the epitome of human life.
Since Hillary Frank produced that story for us, she has become host of the podcast The Longest Shortest Time. And Sarah Michelle Morosky, the young ballerina, now dances with the American National Ballet in Charleston, South Carolina.